Young people, to me, it is a privilege to be able to stand before you. If I must be honest with you, I'm not worthy of it. I don't deserve the honor of being able to spread the word of the living God. It's just the grace of God in my life that has made this possible. And as I speak to you this morning, it is my prayer that you, each one of you, may these days also experience that grace of God in your life. So before we start, can we just pray together again? Heavenly Father, we are so in need of Thee. As we prayed together before the choir sang, we invite you, Lord, please be merciful. Be merciful to those who speak, that your grace will flow to those who listen and change hearts to the glory and honor of your name. Amen.
Amen.
You saw before we started with the service the picture of what we're going to celebrate on the 24th and the 25th of December. It was the time when God's kingdom came to this earth. It was the time when the Son of God was born as a human being. And made it possible for you and me to pray, Our Father which art in heaven. As I looked at that picture, I thought, what must one do to become part of his children and to become part of his kingdom? Because you know there are millions of people that lived in those days that did not experience any of his life or his coming to this earth. It was a handful of people that were there. Even as he lived and died, it was just a handful that was touched by him. It can easily be that we are here thousands, but only a handful of us get touched. Just think of the grace of God to that handful of people, those shepherds. There were many other nations that were totally unaware that God's kingdom had come to the earth.
Ziningi ezinye izizwe ezazikhona ezazingazi nakancane ukuthi
They just never heard about, maybe they never even heard about Israel. They were bigger and stronger nations. They grew up without ever hearing about him. People from faraway countries. And yet, you know, it can be that we together here is a combination of people from faraway countries. Not literally, not real countries. But countries where we are suffering, which is another land. I come here to the mission as if I'm coming from another land. A land of suffering. Where I come from, we do not have enough food to eat. Maybe I come from a land where my father is a drunkard. Maybe I come from a land where both my parents don't care for me and are not interested in me. A land where I'm with my grandmother. A land where we don't know where our food is going to come to for the next day. A land where there's not always money to clothe myself in a decent way or in the nice clothes I would like. This is my prayer. May you not come here where the Christ child is born in our midst, and you stay with your mind and with your heart in the land where you come from. You stay here for a week and you never see him. Do you know, friends, that God's kingdom is something that moves? He came to this earth. He stayed here for 33 years, more or less. He went back to heaven. He moves. He didn't stay here forever. Maybe those who were privileged to live in Israel for a short time was aware of him. Only 3 years he went into public after grown up and he preached and people became aware of him. Friends, God's kingdom, if he will visit us and it will come to us these days, this week and today, keep in mind, it's not going to stay forever. It's going to move on. There's a bus that will come from heaven that will pass by here. And those who can get on can get on, and the bus leaves for heaven. But let me not deceive you. There's also a bus that will be leaving from here every day filled with people going to hell.
Eliyosuka khona la usuku nosuku
Do you realize that? Maybe these days is going to be the day when Satan gets you onto the bus to hell. Maybe you've never got onto that bus. You've never really decided to get onto this bus. But you can get onto this bus today. God can say, these days, I've given him an opportunity. Satan, it's fine. Your bus can leave. Leave with his soul. He'll go from here blind forever. He's going to die in his sin, and he'll go to hell forever. That bus is going to come by. And it's going to carry on. And it's not enough, friends, to come and visit the mission to get onto the bus to heaven. It's not enough to go to church where you come from. By standing where you come from, going to church, dancing and singing and praying doesn't get you onto the bus to heaven. Because you can be singing and dancing to the Lord in church, but winking with your eyes to the girls that slows by. Waving and swinging your beehive around from side to side. But your heart is filled with fornication, with lust and adultery. And you go out of that church service, and God says, you've gotten onto the bus to hell. You can be sitting in church. You can be sitting here in the auditorium, watching the girls on the other side. You can be aiming at a specific girl. You could have marked or targeted a specific girl. And you try and go and meet her somehow when it's dark. Friends, do that. Do that. And you are getting onto the bus to hell. This is not a game here. It wasn't a game when Christ came to this world. As I said, it was the day when it was made possible for us to sing, to pray and say, Our Father which art in heaven. But it was also the day when it was made possible for us to pray, Thy kingdom come. And that's what I want to speak about today. About the coming of the kingdom of God. And how do we come part of the kingdom of God? Because everybody that is part of his kingdom can pray and say, Our Father that art in heaven. So let's read another portion about a man that met up with God's kingdom. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13, and we'll be reading from verse 44.
Evangelium ka Matthew isahluko seshumi nantathu sobe sifunda kusukela evesini lamashumi amane nane.
Matthew 13 verse 44.
Matthew isahluko seshumi nantathu ivesi lamashumi amane nane.
The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field.
Umbuso wezulu ufana nengcebo efihlwe ensimini yafunyanwa ngumuntu wayithukusa ngokuthokoza kwakhe uyahamba athengise ngakho konke nakho athenge leyo nsimi.
Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls.
Futhi umbuso wezulu ufana nomthengi ofuna amaparele amahle.
Who on finding one pearl of great value went and sold all that he had and bought it.
Eselifumene iparele linye elinenani elikhulu waya wathengisa ngakho konke nakho walithenga.
Let me just read verse 44 again. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field.
Ake ngiliphinde ivesi lika 44. Umbuso wezulu ufana nengcebo efihlwe ensimini yafunyanwa ngumuntu wayithukusa ngokuthokoza kwakhe uyahamba athengise ngakho konke nakho athenge leyo nsimi.
We'll just read those verses. Now, friends, remember this is how the Bible explains to us to become part of God's kingdom. So, just imagine a man who's digging in someone busy digging with his spade in someone else's field. And as he sticks his spade into the ground, he hears a clunk. A clunk sound that he struck something there. Oh, how I wish that you would be hearing a clunk, clunk sound these days. Oh, that you will not be deaf to hear the clunk sound when you are digging these days. And go away not having discovered the treasure that was there in hidden for you, if only you went and you dug a little bit deeper. So he takes away the soil carefully above this thing that he knows is there. You see, you need to dig a bit and take away things that hides the kingdom of God for to you. There may be things in your life that is hiding the treasure for you that you are blind and you cannot see it. Things you need to get out of the way, things that stand between you and God, things that you've done, things that you've said. Whether you've done it in secret or not. So this man hears the clang. And now he's starting to take the soil away there. And he cleans around. He discovers there's a big chest, a big box. And he digs around this box. He cleans up around this box. He sees, oh, I'm on top of this box, and this is the lid on top of it. So he cleans a little bit. But he's too curious. He doesn't go very deep. He just digs a little bit. But he looks around and says, first to see, listen, is there nobody else that see me now? Is there nobody that can come and take this thing? And no, there's nobody there. Okay, and he digs a bit more. And he gets excited. And then in the end, he's cleaned the box. And he lifts the lid. But as he lifts the lid, he's down on his knees and he's looking around whether anybody can see him. And he opens the thing. And he's just about blinded by what he sees. Treasures. Diamonds that just about hurts his eyes flashing. Gold. Rubies. Beautiful things of the value that you cannot explain. He cannot even think how much is the value of this. And all kinds of jewels, emeralds and sapphires and precious stones. So he quickly closes it. Stands up, stretches himself, but he looks around. Is anybody seeing me? And he closes the soil on top of it, covers it, and he rushes to town. First thing he does is he knows, I must buy this piece of land because the treasure is in this piece of land. The piece of land, friends, is the kingdom of God. And the treasure in the piece of land is the man that came to this earth 2,000 years ago that we saw being born. So he rushes to town and he starts selling everything he has. He must get that piece of land. He puts his house on the market to sell it. The sooner he can sell the house, the better. He's got to have that treasure. He puts his car on the market. He sells his car. And I read somebody else's sermon on this. And you know what that person says? He even puts his wife and his children up for sale. First, when I read this, I thought, hang on, this doesn't sound right to me. But then I realized, no, it's right. God must be more important to you and me than our wives and our husbands and our children. If you, young person, is more concerned about getting married or getting the right girl or the right husband, you're more concerned about that than about getting the treasure of the kingdom of heaven, you are not going to get it. And you know what this tells me? To have the kingdom of God becomes an obsession that consumes him. It eats away, it fills his heart, it fills his mind. He thinks about it day and night. It's all the time in his mind. You know why it is so precious? Because it is something that no man or demon or anything can make. It's from God. God is so different from us. He starts with new things. God built, created the earth out of nothing. God can create his kingdom in your life out of nothing. Years ago, I was with my brother and we went to see a Jewish doctor. And he examined us and then he said, I'm not going to charge you. And my brother said to him, hey, I don't know what to say. All I can say, thank you. It's nothing, it's just words. But I just say thank
you.
And the doctor said, stop. Don't say it is just words. Because through words, his words, God created everything that you can see with your eyes around you. God created only with his words. By listening to God's word these days, God can create something out of nothing in your heart. God can bring life out of death. It is not human. It's as if it comes from another world. But that's the solution to our problems. Human logic is not going to give you and me the solution to our problems. So how do I get hold of the kingdom of heaven? How can I and you, how can we become part of those group that we saw in that picture, kneeling around the child that was born? There's one key that we need. And we need that key to be able to become part of His kingdom. Just before I go to that, can I just say one more thing about the treasure in the field? The man had to sell everything to get their treasure. Young people, you must be prepared to sell everything to get that treasure. So what's the key? How can you get off the devil's bus these days and get onto the bus that goes to heaven? There's one key. It's called faith. You must have faith in God that He exists. In Hebrews 11 verse 6, He says this. And without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to Him must believe that He exists and that He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. You mustn't take away the things in your life, the stones in your life, the sins in your life. You mustn't go and confess it because, oh, that's what everybody does here. No. You must do it because you believe that God is a person that exists. He sees you, and He's a God that will reward you if you seek Him. So let me explain to you what faith is. By a story. There is the story of a man who wandered around in the desert. He was kind of lost. And his water got finished. And he got a terrible thirst. And he started stumbling there through the hot sand of the desert. Nothing, just the hot sun. And in the end, he stumbled, he staggered and stumbled onto an old shack. It stood there alone in the desert. It was weathered. It was broken now. No windows, no roof. The door was swinging in the wind, open and closed. Like that. So he staggered to the side of this old shack where there was a bit of shade. And he sat down in the shade and he leaned back. closed his eyes and he just wanted to catch his breath and rest a bit. And then after some time he opened his eyes again and he saw, but here's a pump some feet away, a few steps away. It is an old rusted water pump. So he staggered to the pump. And he pumped a bit. It was so rusted. He just went squeak, squeak, squeak. Nothing came out. So he staggered back to the shade and sat down. And then he saw, but there's a bottle half buried in the sand next to the pump. So once again he staggered to the bottle. Grabbed it and pulled it out of the sand. And it felt quite cool. And he wiped away the dust. And he says there's a little message that was stuck onto the bottle on the outside. And in it, it says, "Dear friend, this bottle is filled with water." And then in big letters, "Do not drink the water." Hey, the attractions of this world. How strong can it not be? How strong can the desire not be to quench your thirst with the water of this world? But God says in His Word, "Do not drink this water." The letter says, "Take this bottle, open the top, and you pour the water down the pump." Now, there's something I must explain to you about the old pumps that we had before you were born. For them to pump well, they had a leather washer inside, a washer made out of leather. And if you did not use the pump for some time, you know how leather gets hard and stiff if you don't use it. So if you want to use the pump to function, to work, you had to pour water into the pump to make the leather soft again. And then if you pump, it's soft and it works like a suction. It sucks the water up and it pumps the water out. So he stood there and he studied the two options that he had. He's dying of thirst. He can quench it with this water now. You know how the things of this world can make you think it will quench your thirst.
zikulula kanjani ukuthi zikwenze ukuthi ubone ukuthi hayi ngiyaqeda ukoma.
Money.
Imali.
If only I can lie. I'll lie to get money because money is the answer, then I'll be happy. Let me start to cheat. You know, to be happily married is the answer to happiness in this world. If only I can be happily married, I can get this wife, I can get this husband.
Umuntu athokoze kakhulu emhlabeni uma nje ngingashada ngimthole lo ngimfunayo ngizokwazi ukuthi ngithokoze.
So he looked at this water.
Wabuka lamanzi.
He thought, you know, I can drink it now and immediately I will taste the fresh cool water.
Wathuma ngake ngiwaphuze lamanzi manje kuyophela ukoma kwami ngizwe lamanzi amnandi.
And I can just ignore this message.
Wathi lo mbiko obhalwe la ngavele ngushaya indiva.
Should I really waste this precious water on the hope that the person who wrote this message was speaking the truth? I've got no proof that this is not a joke that the person is playing upon me. Maybe it was some crazy mad guy that wrote that message just to make fun of people that come here. Or must I believe this message? This is now getting to faith. In order to do what he had to do, he had to believe. In order to leave the water that this world is offering you, you have to believe. Actually, you've got to pour the water of the world out. You've got to come, confess, and pour out your heart about all your secrets that is your secrets. How do I know that it will help me? How do I know that that will give me the treasure of heaven? Should I waste all this precious water on silly hopes that there's a God in heaven who hears me seeking Him, who hears me cleansing my life, removing the dirt, and who will answer me?
Kempela ngimela ukuthi ngiwathathe lamanzi abukeke igugu ngiwachithe nje ngenxa ukuthi ngikhole ukuthi kukhona uNkulunkulu osezulwini ongizwayo ongibonayo.
Oh friends, may God give you the grace to believe this message, this word of God.
Sihlobo ngathi uNkulunkulu angasipha umusa wokuthi siwukholwe lo mbiko sokholwe lamazwi kaNkulunkulu.
That is how you become part of God's kingdom. Without that faith, you can stand on your head. You will not become part of God's kingdom.
You have
to believe that little boy that we saw there, born in a manger, came to die for my sins, to wash me from all my sins. And no matter how evil they were, I'll be cleansed.
Oh,
may God grant you that faith, dear friends, dear brother and sister. May God give you the grace to reach a point where you say, I am sick of myself. I'm sick of my sins. I'm sick of my behavior and the way I'm behaving in school with my parents everywhere. I'm sick of my double-heartedness, this heart that wants two things. Then I want to serve God, then I want the world. I want to choose for God, and then I'm sick of that. I'm sick of my immoral ways. How many girls have I slept with? I've given my virginity to boys. I get nothing for it. I sit with a baby. Only babies that I've got to take care of, and they've gone away and they've left me. I'm sick of whoring around and lusting after every girl that I see. I am sick of carrying the mistakes of the people around me. Carrying that
around
in my heart. Do you hear what I say? I'm sick of carrying in my heart the mistakes of the people around me. You accuse the people around you for everything that goes wrong. It's never your mistake. The problem lies with my parents. The problem lies with my friends. The problem lies with God that created me like this. The problem lies with this girl that cheated on me, this boy that cheated on me. And all the mistakes of the people around you, you carry around, and it becomes a burden to you, a weight. It weighs you down in your heart. Day after day, you hate them again. Day after day, you take this grudge up. You've slept last night, and in the morning, you pick up this grudge against this person. Pick it up and carry it the whole day around in your heart. The Lord said, come to me. You who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. May God give us the grace to be sick of carrying around the sins and the mistakes of everybody around them, us, but not never my own. Do you know what you need to get free? You don't need that person whom you hate to die. You don't need that person whom you carry a grudge against to suffer pain and suffer before you.
No,
that's not the heavenly solution. That's not part of God's kingdom. That's part of the kingdom of the devil and part of the kingdom of man. You need to see your own mistakes. You need to see how evil you've been and how much you deserve to go to hell and how much you need God's salvation. May God make us sick of that bottle of water which seems so attractive but doesn't quench my thirst. Sick of that jealousy. Jealousy on that other child who still have both his parents. Who take good care of him. Who buys him all the clothes he wants. I'm sick and tired of being jealous. Who does so well at school. If I didn't have the problems that we have at home, then I would also do well at school. I'm sick of these things going on in my life all the time. They make me tired. I'm sick of that. I want to vomit. I'm sick of going around in circles, and while I'm going around, I sink deeper and deeper and deeper. So that was what he thought of as he looked at this bottle. Shall I drink it now? Or shall I believe what was written on that paper? But he was not sick of the water. It still looked very attractive to him. He wanted to enjoy it. Maybe you sit here and you say, no, it doesn't make me sick. I actually want to enjoy these things. But finally he decided, I'm going to believe this message, that this is the truth. And he took the cap off. And look, he poured the contents down the pump. Then he grabbed the pump with both hands. Take note what I say. He grabbed the pump with both hands. Not half-heartedly. Both hands. Oh, young person, may you grab the kingdom of God today and these days with both hands. Put everything into it. And he started pumping. And it went squeak, 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 squeak. Nothing came out. And then he continued pumping, pumping, pumping. Squeak, squeak, squeak. It is like that. Sometimes God waits before he answers his prayers. Sorry, before he answers our prayers. But that's where faith comes in. You need faith to hold on to God's kingdom and God's promises and to change your life. It's faith that made him pour the water down the pump. And then slowly but surely, a few drops of water started coming. And he went on, he carried on, squeak, squeak. And then a little stream started dribbling out of the pump. And suddenly the hope flooded his heart. The Bible speaks of faith. The Bible speaks of hope. We've got to have faith and hope. And then suddenly, when he pulled down the next time, suddenly it locked in. It was heavy. And it started pumping heavy. And next moment, fresh, cool water, a thick stream, poured out of that pump. And he continued, he pumped with the one hand and he stick his whole head under the water and he started drinking the water. More water than what he could ever drink was there for him. There's more grace in God's word that you and than what you and I can ever use up. God has much more love for you and me than what we could ever use up. He was washed in the water. He drank the water. It became cool. It refreshed him. He went back and sat under the shade. Then went again and he took this bottle because now he started thinking. And then he saw, it wasn't the end of the message yet. Then he saw there's still another sentence at the end of the note. And it says, dear friend, once you've had enough, please fill the bottle, put on the cap, and put it there for the next traveler that will be coming around. That's what will happen. Once you have drunk, you want to give to others to drink this living water also. And he felt, and sure enough, there was a pen still in his pocket. Took it out. And he wrote this. Believe me, it really works. You have to give everything away before you will get anything back. I'm closing with the last example, just very briefly. A about another man who saw God's kingdom pass by him in a moment. And it is the man that wrote this book that we read from. Matthew, who wrote this gospel, was a tax collector. One day Matthew was sitting at his desk as a tax collector collecting money. People despised him. His whole life, his whole attention, everything went into making money. That was his life.
And then
one day the Lord Jesus passed by this man, Matthew. And he spoke only two words. Remember, I said the word of God has got power. He walked past, he stopped, and he said, "Follow me." Nothing more. Now just think of that. Here I sit busy with my life. Here comes a man who maybe I don't even know. He stops and he says, "Follow me." He doesn't give me the reason why I should follow him. I could say to him, "Well, who do you think you are that you can just come and tell me, give me instructions like you are the captain and I'm a soldier?" But somehow Matthew realized the man who spoke to me has authority. Because he was God. He was the Word of God who became flesh and lived amongst us. All power in heaven and on earth had been given to him. And friends, in a split second, Matthew had to decide, "Am I going to do this?" Looked at all the gold and the silver on the table. His life. And he realized, "I've got to make the choice." Let the devil not deceive you, young person. You've got to make the choice. It's not you can make it. You've got to. If you don't make the choice when Jesus is calling you, you're getting onto the bus to hell. And let me tell you, every youth conference we see buses full of you young people who come here leaving on the devil's bus to hell. He knew when Matthew looked at his gold, he really realized there's no comparison between what Christ is offering me and what I have on my table here. He knew it immediately. Without saying a word, without going to his boss and telling him, "Listen, I'm stopping to work now," there was no time, because the King of Heaven had spoken, and if he speaks, I've got to move. because he's going to move away and carry on. He got up. Friends, if he stayed with his gold, we would have never even known that a man with the name of Matthew existed.
But
because he got up and followed Christ, we all know him. Billions of people all across the world have known about him as the man who became a follower of Christ and wrote the Gospel of Matthew. May God give you the grace, young people. Listen, I've done my best to tell you how important your decisions is going to be these days. I have not exaggerated. May God open your ears and your eyes. Thank you.
Baba wethu osezulwini,
our Father who art in heaven.
Okunye sikutholile lendaba iyasebenza. It really works.
Now what we've understood and I think we received, and that is this really works. This matter works.
Silinganiselwe ngamabhasi amabili.
We've been they used two buses as an example.
Koni ibhasi lesihlokweni.
There's a bus that leads to hell.
Umbuzo omkhulu ufunani kulelo bhasi.
The big question is, what do you want and why are you in that bus?
Uzamelani nje nokuthi uzama ungena khona kulelo bhasi.
What are you doing to get onto that bus?
Kukhona ibhasi eliyezulwini.
There's another bus that leaves for heaven.
Abanye bamanqikanqika ngalo, ngingene, ngingangeni, ngingene, ngingangeni. Umbuzo omkhulu, ungabazelana ukungena kulelo bhasi.
And there is that, maybe that doubt. Should I climb onto the bus? Shouldn't I? Should I? Shouldn't I? But the big question is, why are you doubting?
Kuyadingana ukuthi uzube nembuzo ukuthi ngena phakathi ukuze usinde uphephe. Ungene kule nqola ezokisa esiphethweni okuyisona sona esihle.
And there shouldn't be a question, a doubt, to climb onto this bus that will lead to heaven.
Okunye engikukhile ilokhu.
Another thing that I've received in this message.
Le ndoda ebisehlane.
This man in the desert.
He said, "Duze kwe pump."
He's close to the pump.
Bangakanani abantu abaseduze nokusinda.
How many people aren't there that are so close to salvation?
Bangakanani abantu abaseduze nombuso kaNkulunkulu.
They are so close to God's kingdom.
Kodwa basabuzana inyama negazi.
But they still ask concerning flesh and blood.
Ngingene, ngingangeni.
And doubt.
Ngingene, ngingangeni.
Should I enter? Shouldn't I?
Imiyalo esibhalelwe yona kuleli ibhodlela.
Instructions on this bottle read.
Uma nje ukubuke walalela yona.
And if you would just listen and take note of it.
Bekucimeka ukoma lokho indlela ome ngayo.
Then all your thirst, which you are at the moment experiencing in your life, will come to an end. First thing, for the worldly, sinful things. Others not only thirst, but others have, so to say, been destroyed by this.
Oh,
But some you can recognize, experience and see that, oh, this person, the world has really struck this person. And this, the world, so to say, has destroyed this person. Others you just see on the forest.
Oh, God, I am shy, moya yalelizwe.
By just seeing the face, you experience the world has struck this person. But the Lord Jesus says, I'm the Alpha and Omega. I make everything new. For us is to sell, to get rid of all those things, all those sins in our life, that we might inherit that kingdom. Young person, I invite you. Sell everything. You know those things that are burdening you? Things that have troubled you? Not only yesterday. For so long, you have been burdened by these things. Now, by God's grace, at the moment you find yourself next to that well, take note of what is said and written on that bottle. Throw it into this pump. And then you start pumping. And even if it didn't work right in the beginning, but carrying on, persevering, suddenly the water comes out. Young person, older person, you are sitting next to the well. One thing is required of you to be obedient. If we have done it, we will live. If we have done it, it will be seen and experienced in your life that you've received the kingdom of heaven. And then we find ourselves on the bus to heaven. I've, so to say, jumped out of that bus that leads to hell. God be merciful to us. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this privilege that we have, Lord. That we have a word that's alive. And that it is so described to us as something that is clear, obvious, and alive. Even a small child hears and understands. We thank you, our Father. We thank you for that privilege that we are able to say, our Father in heaven. Because we don't deserve it. Help us, Lord. That we don't hold back that which depresses us and oppresses us in our hearts. But by your grace that we let it go. Separate from sin. That we receive a new life in Christ. We thank you, our Heavenly Father.
Amen.
Amen.